Let us be among the people of justice and the people of right consideration. Have you ever found that this republic is asking for something inhumane? Simply we ask, have you ever found that this republic dealt with a people, nations or states contrary to the interests of these states? Has the Islamic Republic prioritized its own interests over the interests of others? Never. Rather, it pays a very high bill of sanctions, of targeting and of blockade. All of this because it stands with these just values. Otherwise, what did the Islamic Republic gain, for example, from its stance in the time of Bosnia and Herzegovina? At the time of that heinous war in which they launched a war of annihilation against Muslims, the Islamic Republic was the first to support these oppressed people, those that were targeted. What did the Islamic Republic gain from this?
From here, Your Eminence, I want to take one of the fundamentals of the Islamic Revolution was to stand with the oppressed against the oppressor wherever they were, and especially in the Arab and the Muslim world, because this corresponds and is in line with the essence of the Islamic Revolution. This frightened the arrogant enemies and the oppressive powers, and they made them hurry to blockade and sanction the Islamic Republic of Iran. But can you explain in less than 2 minutes to our Western viewers, why is it crucial? Why is it crucial for the Islamic Republic to stand with the oppressed, even when its communities are faced with suffocation of the unilateral punitive measures?
When Imam Khomeini, may God Almighty be pleased with him, described these countries as arrogant states, these countries after World War II had reached a degree of arrogance and a sense of victory and superiority over all the peoples of the world. So they thought that they had the right to impose what they called Western values on all the peoples of the world, even in terms of food, clothing, speech and behavior. Even at the level of human values, it came to change these values. And now the West has come out in public, how they want humanity to be. It is not possible for these countries and for these arrogant satanic forces to accept someone who stands in the darkness of this era and raises the banner of purely human values. Values that are commensurate with human instinct and which the monotheistic religions brought. Now look, even in all the world, who bears this flag? Unfortunately, even representatives of some monotheistic religions have succumbed to the new values brought by the West, and this is a shameful thing. They violated the basic rules of religions just to please the West and to toe the line with Western values, not human and religious values. There is no confrontation left in this world at a very high level of confrontation except that of the Islamic Republic, which is paying the price for this. In order to stand in the face of the abolition of Western values and to prove and affirm human values, whether they are Christian, Islamic, Jewish, or any other religion, all religions call for values that are commensurate with human instinct.
This is what we are going to discuss with Your Eminence in our second segment of the show. Please stay tuned, because next we will be talking about how the revolution is viewed in the eyes and in the scholar leadership of Ayatollah Sayyid Imam Ali al-Khamenei.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marwa Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
His Eminence Ayatollah Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei is the leader of the Islamic Revolution. And this leadership is the most important responsibility that His Eminence Imam Khamenei bears. Originally, when we express His Eminence with the word leader, we mean that he is a leader of the Islamic Revolution. Therefore, it is necessary and very important to know how His Eminence views the concept of the Islamic Revolution and how this leader defines this revolution that he leads. More details in this following report.
When we search for the concepts of freedom, independence, justice, progress, and the good life in the speeches of the leader of the revolution, Ayatollah Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, we notice that all these concepts are linked in his thought to the concept of the Islamic Revolution. We find that they represent the goals or values of the revolution, or for example, when His Eminence raises the issue of jihad of clarification, known as jihad al-tabyin, as he intends to clarify the facts and knowledge of the Islamic Revolution to the public in the face of the enemy's attempts to distort the facts and mislead the people. This matter does not remain at the theoretical and intellectual level only, but we find that His Eminence's actions and practical behavior are also linked to the basic concept of the Islamic Revolution. In other words, when His Eminence Imam Khamenei performs a specific action, takes a specific position, takes a decision, or meets with different groups and segments, he performs all these actions from the standpoint of the Islamic Revolution. On the other hand, we, the followers of the revolution, believe that His Eminence Imam Khamenei is the leader of the Islamic Revolution and that this capacity is the most important responsibility of His Eminence. Originally, when we convey His Eminence with the word leader, we mean that he is a leader of the Islamic Revolution. Therefore, it is necessary and very important to know how His Eminence views the concept of the Islamic Revolution and how this leader defines this revolution that he leads. Although His Eminence has no worldly or material attachment to this position, how he views himself responsible for performing this leadership role is key to the success of his leadership. His Eminence, the leader of the revolution, says, "The responsibility for managing the revolution differs from the executive management of the country. The leader does not bear an executive responsibility, but he bears the responsibility for managing the revolution, which is itself the leadership, and the responsibility for preserving the direction and order of the Islamic revolution. The leader must be concerned that the revolution does not deviate from its goals and should not be deceived by the enemy's tricks, so as not to take the wrong path. These are the responsibilities of leadership." Hence, from his words, we see that the goal, identity, and primary responsibility of the leadership is to defend and preserve the system of the revolution as a whole. With his strategic statements, His Eminence the leader presents to us his realistic and accurate reading of the 40 years that have passed since the revolution as the first step of it. Then he explains to us the second step that we should take on this path during the next 40 years in order to reach the goals of the revolution and pave the way, God willing, for the emergence of the son of the great savior, Imam Mahdi. May Allah Almighty hasten his honorable reappearance.
We continue from Beirut with Sayyid Hussein Amin Sayyid, scholar at the Religious Seminary. Thank you very much, Your Eminence, for being with us. Now, His Eminence, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says, "The responsibility for managing the revolution differs from the executive management of the country. The leader does not bear an executive responsibility, but he bears the responsibility for preserving both the direction and the order of the Islamic Revolution, and he must be concerned that the revolution does not deviate from its goals." Of course, this is a huge responsibility that needs a set of factors to be successful. What are these set of factors, in your opinion?
In the beginning, we must go back a little bit in history to what Imam Ali, peace be upon him, did during his government. Does anyone doubt that he was on the path of truth? As the Prophet, may God's prayers and peace be upon him and his family, said, "Ali is with the truth and the truth is with Ali, revolving with him however he turns." Nevertheless, this state, which lasted for almost 5 years, offered the truth to the people. However, the owners of falsehood were hostile to this just state, and this is their concern in the whole world. And during our time, if we return to the Islamic Republic and to the person of Imam Khamenei, may his honorable presence last, when we look at him in his actions and his management of the nation, the administration of the nation, and not the detailed management of the state, and not the executive matters of the state, we see that the Imam rules through the arms and through auxiliaries, companions, employees, and those with whom they bear responsibility. This is the nature of the world that he must have arms in order to rule. He cannot do all the roles alone. That is why we find that the Imam Khamenei, may his presence last, practiced the same rule that Imam Ali, peace be upon him, practiced during his life. Let us look at the care of the leader of the faithful for the poor and the orphans. And when any event or natural happening occurs, how do we find him at the head of those interested in caring for people, supporting people, and standing by people? So we find him fighting the oppressors, standing up to the plans of the enemies and arrogance, working on how to thwart them and how to put himself in the forefront during the confrontations, and not to hide behind those whom he advances in ranks. But rather we find him daring, the lion, the rising head in the battlefield. Isn't that what we saw? This is why Imam Khamenei, may his presence last, bear this historical depth of faith in leading the nation, unlike other leaders of this world, who, if we want to compare him with a leader in this world, we will not find an equal or even someone close to him, not even a little bit. The entire comparison is invalid.
And this is, by the way, because of the fact that the movement is a completion of the movement of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, the way that you're saying, peace be upon them, and in support of their divine project as well. But this revolution, basically, for the Muslims of the Islamic Revolution, it wants to pave the way for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, may it be soon, inshallah, by building a modern Islamic civilization. That is a notion that many people in the West don't really fathom, they don't understand. Can you explain its importance and the relativity of this notion to the leadership of the revolution?
It is important for me to mention something that happened to us a long time ago. We were in a meeting with Ayatollah Mishkini, may God Almighty be pleased with him. And from his words on that day, he said, I challenge the world to provide us with a leader who resembles, even if a little bit, the leader we have. We challenge the world in ascetism, piety, caring for people, preferring people over his smallest right, he who influences people. Who in the world has such a leader? That is why, my dear sister, I dare to say in your honorable presence that we live with Imam Khamenei, may God protect him. We live with the deputy of Imam Mahdi. We live with an ambassador of Imam Mahdi. We live with the one who came to teach us and educate us on how to establish a state ruled by Imam Mahdi. May God's praise be upon him. We were living through these days of exams of obedience to the ruler. And what we are living in these difficult times, and praise be to Allah, our family and nation passed all exams and proved that they are worthy of obedience to Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. After it proved its success in obeying the deputy of Imam al-Mahdi, may God Almighty protect and preserve him. For this reason, Imam Khamenei, may his presence last, embodying in him all these values, that we cannot comprehend that this West, until now, with its governments, people and media, how can it not understand the weight of these values? They have one scale of values that are completely different from the scale of human values. That is why they cannot accept this light that destroys their darkness, which they spread in this world. And that is why they will fight. They want to extinguish the light of God with their mouths, but they will never be able to do this. And Allah refuses except to perfect His light. And the one who carries the torch of this light and the one who carries the flag of this light in the world is the divine, holy, straightforward man, Imam Khamenei, may his presence last.
Well, Your Eminence, in less than a minute, all of this that you just explained need a very high level of comprehensive vision. This is what Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei always speaks about, to have a comprehensive vision in every small detail around us. How did the Islamic Republic make sure that its society held on to the goals of the revolution with this vision?
All these successes achieved by the Islamic Republic, despite its young age, because measuring the age of states is not measured by 40 or 44 years. But what the Islamic Republic has achieved in this short period indicates that the leader of this march possesses a complete, comprehensive and adequate vision, and knows where he wants to take this struggling and sacrificing nation. That is why we saw him, may Allah protect him, in all the difficult tests and the great conspiracies that the enemies tried. We saw him lead this nation from one victory to another. If this indicates anything, it indicates that this divine man, open-minded, open-spirited man, possesses precedent in every field, educates peoples on it, and encourages people to open doors by giving a name to years. Imam Khamenei gives a name for every year and directs people to work in this direction. And we see the Islamic Republic every day increasing in glory, victory, strength and exaltation. Rather, it suffices me for the just person, for the person who wants to reach his interests and not his hereafter. We speak to them about their interests. We ask them to look at their countries, where they have become, and let them look at the Islamic Republic, where it has become.
Inshallah, for more victories and more success.
Inshallah.
I want to thank you very much, Your Eminence, Sayyid Hussein Amini Sayyid, scholar at the Religious Seminary, for being with us to discuss this very crucial moment of history. I want to thank you, ladies and gents, for being such honorable and such good friends and good listeners to our show. I want to congratulate the Islamic Ummah and all the free peoples of the world for the 44th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. And may this revolution bring more inspiration to all the liberation movements in the war. We will see you again next week. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very important question. That question is with respect to why is it that divorce has been restricted to 3 times? As you know, if a person divorces a woman 3 times after that, he's not allowed to marry the same woman unless somebody else, marries the woman and then divorces her. After that, he can marry her, right? So this question is regards to the wisdom behind this. It's interesting to note that Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam was once asked the same question. Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam was once asked the reason why a man is not allowed to remarry his divorcee numerous times unless she has married another husband first. To which he replied, "Verily, Allah Blessed and Most High has permitted revocable divorce twice," and said, "Revocable divorce may be only twice, then let there be either an honorable retention or a kindly release," meaning the third time around, because of his contracting this divorce that Allah despises so. 3 times over, Allah prohibits him from doing it again, so she, his divorcee, is not lawful for him until she marries another husband and he divorces her. The wisdom behind this, what is the wisdom behind this? The Imam says, in order that people do not plunge into divorce, right? If God were not to have done this, right, people would take divorce very lightly, right? They would, take it very lightly. But if they know that they cannot remarry their wife after the third divorce, unless another man, marries the woman, sleeps with her, and then divorces her, people are going to be kind of precautious of divorcing their wife, right? Nobody with a little bit of valor would want this to occur, right? So the Imam says that, or in order that people do not plunge into divorce, taking it as a light matter, and in order that women may not be caused to suffer in the process. This is one of the big objections to Islam. Muslims, they don't respect women. Islam doesn't give any rights to women. There is no respect given to women in Islam, and so on and so forth, right? But the truth is to the contrary. Islam has established rights for women, and these rights, they secure the woman's honor, right? And contrary to what these people say. This matter has also been alluded to in the Holy Quran, in one verse of the Holy Quran. Allah says, and if he divorces her, she will not be lawful for him until she marries a husband other than him. And if he divorces her, there is no sin upon them to remarry if they think that they can maintain Allah's bounds. These are Allah's bounds, which he clarifies for a people who have knowledge. Right. So I guess the essence of the hadith in which the answer to the question has been mentioned is that Allah wants to, generally, you know, as we know, the general theme is that, you know, Allah wants to prevent divorce from occurring. People, he doesn't want them to take it lightly. That's why he has prescribed this law for people, so that, you know, they avoid doing it. And also that the rights of women are not trampled, they are respected, and they are taken care of in the process. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the wisdom in restricting divorce to 3 times in the words of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, istaeenu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Alhamdulillah, it's the anniversary of the Islamic Republic in Iran, the revolution. And God, alhamdulillah, has given us the ma'rifah to know that this also needs to be celebrated. Brothers and sisters, this was the greatest of the ayyamullah in our era. We know the ayat of Quran tells us, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them of the days of God. The days of God, brothers and sisters, are those days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows to the world that He's in charge. His mercy and His jalal and azama and His greatness are on full display. God takes off the gloves for those days. One of those days in our time is the anniversary of the revolution. So what happens is, you and I are trying to get ready for the ghaibah. And I'm going to mention the principle. We're trying to get ready for the ghaibah. We're trying to get to the stage. This is now the words of Imam Sajjad. I still haven't gotten to the hadith of Imam Ali. We're going to get to that. Right? Where he says this, innal muntadhirin. Those who are waiting. Innal muntadhirin. Al-qa'ilina bi-imamatihi. Those people who still believe in the imamah of the imam of the time. He says they are afdal min ahli kulli zaman. They're better than the people of all times. Is it just because they were born later? They came in a different time? No. What did God give them? That ability to connect the dots. He says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, because God أعطاهم من العقول. He gave them that intellect, that insight, that understanding, that ability to connect the dots such that ما صارت به الغيبة كالعيان. For those people, the absence of the imam and the physical presence of the imam are the exact same. I connected the dots. So now, what happens is, we have the honor. And again, this now comes back to us though. Because you don't know it through personalities. You know it by knowing principles. We have a beautiful hadith from the imam. The imam says this, Imam Sadiq. من دخل في هذا الدين بالرجال. Whoever enters into Islam because of people. Everybody's a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. My daddy was a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. Not that I know what Islam is. He says, كما أدخلوه في. So he says, أخرجوه منه الرجال. The same way that people brought him in, people take him out. كما أدخلوه في. The same way they brought him in, they'll take him back out. He says, but what about that person who understands what Islam is? وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِيهِ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالْسُنَّةِ. The person who understands what Islam is, this person, زَالَتِ الْجِبَالِ. Mountains will move. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَزُولَ. So let's say there's a believer who understood what Islam is. What did Imam Khomeini do? What did he revive? Is Islam just praying and fasting and qums and zakat? Or is Islam a way of life? Is Islam standing up against the tawaghit? Islam is not forgetting our sisters in India. Islam is standing for the oppressed here in America. Islam! So what happens is, and we have 1 minute and 44 seconds, so I'm trying to bring it together, but very quickly. There's a documentary about the leader, Imam Khamenei. And it's one of those documentaries where you see him in the fatigues. You know, he was a representative of the imam, and he would go to the battlefront, not only like the most dangerous, but he was representative of the imam, he would go to the front. So in this particular video, you see him flying in a helicopter and wearing his fatigues. This is before he was the leader, the time of the imam, in his fatigues, in his helmet, carrying his Kalashnikov. You see him go to the fronts. Then after that, there's a Q&A. He's talking to the brothers over there. One of the brothers asked a very important question, again, for you and I to connect the dots. Why is the Islamic Revolution so important? Why do we need to commemorate it? Why is it important for us? What did Imam Khomeini do? Why do we have to keep this alive? Those brothers over there, why did the best of Allah's creation sacrifice their lives? Those brothers over there, how many of them became shuhada later? We don't know. The video is there. They asked the Imam Khamenei, he's not the leader at that time, he's a representative of the imam. They say, in the army of Tawheed, when you're fighting on the side of Allah, in the army of Tawheed, they say, question, are we fighting for Islam or are we fighting for our homeland? Is this about Iran or is this something bigger? Listen to the leader's answer. He says, that's an excellent question. But right now, he said, Iran and Islam have become one. He said, that question is relevant. If it wasn't the case, this is all about Islam. It's all about Islam. So, and now, inshallah, we've got 58 seconds, so I won't take too much of your time, but it's just a little bit of us, two reminders, if you don't mind. For first, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad. Both of them are ayat of Quran. We don't want to, brothers and sisters, get arrogant because Allah has given us the tawfiq and the ma'rifah to understand the importance of the revolution, that now somehow we feel we can lord over other people. Other people haven't gotten this. What's the matter with them? Two warnings. One of them, Allah gave this tawfiq. What do we know so that we keep this? Otherwise, you and I know about people who were part of the revolution and sacrificed in ways that you and I, we haven't sacrificed and left. What are the two reminders? Very quickly. One, we've got to make sure we increase our iman. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Truly those who believe and do good deeds, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. God, their Lord, will guide them because of their faith. You'll be able to connect the dots. So what should we do? You and I, we want to go back to God as a teacher. Oh Allah, show me. I've been able to connect the dots up until now, but does that mean it's guaranteed that I make it? No, Allah, I don't say that. What's the instructions from Quran? Last reminder. Ittaqullah, have taqwa. Ittaqullah wa yu'allimukumullah. You have taqwa, God will teach you. Wa yu'allimukumullah. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, Allah gave us this tawfiq to remember, to celebrate, to commemorate. But inshallah, our take-home message is that we have to work on trying to deepen our iman and make sure that in our personal lives, we continue to practice taqwa.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
In this modern day and age, we've seen capitalism, materialism, liberalism, and globalization spread across the world and impose itself on other cultures, led by Western political and economic powers, specifically post-Cold War American capital. As such, modernity, with its goal of institutionalizing a number of evolving principles such as moral autonomy, human rights, civil equality, consumerism, freedom of the market, and secularism, have proven to be a great challenge to various religious traditions and communities, particularly Islam. In the modern secular world, religion should have no influence in the public sphere. As a result of this secularization of society within the Muslim community, we are witnessing a number of shifts in the way people view certain ideas, concepts, values, morals, ethics, and accepted religious tenets and practices. One of those shifts was how the concept of gender found a new meaning in post-revolutionary Iran. After the 1979 victory of the Islamic Revolution, one of the issues that became a hot topic and was seriously paid attention to and discussed domestically and internationally was the issue of women. the Islamic Revolution achieved victory in an environment where various schools of thought, including modern secular ideologies, had promoted their ideas of gender issues and a specific view of women. But the Islamic Republic brought a new perspective to humanity in this matter. The new approach became the reality in the form of activism and day-to-day activity of Iranian Muslim women. Therefore, the third model for women was born, a new model that outlines a new life pattern for women and dismisses the previous models introduced by both Eastern and Western schools of thought. For a closer look at this movement, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. The concept of the third model for women was raised initially on March 6, 2012, by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader has said that the first model for women, which emerges from the Eastern school of thought, considers women as an element on the margins of society, playing no active role. The second model concentrates on women according to Western viewpoint, which considers women as a creature based on her gender, not humanity. Based on this ideology, women are treated as a commodity for the pleasure of men or a means at the service of capitalism. However, the third model considers women as the constituents of the revolution, who are neither inclined toward East nor West.
How do you describe the women's role and their situation in society currently after the revolution?
One of the basic strategies of the Islamic Revolution and the discourse of the Islamic Revolution on the issue of women is the revival of identity and the recognition of women's female identity. What was going on before the revolution following the degenerate Western culture was that women had lost their identity even as a human being. The fact that a woman is a human being and has will, decision, and authority and freedom. That a woman has an identity along with the identity of being a mother, being a wife, and being a comforter for the family. But this view of women was changing according to the Western culture in the Pahlavi regime. History has it that the Pahlavi regime had suggested that if a woman wanted to be a human being, she had to be Western from head to toe.
Islam regards women as dignified human beings. Men and women share the same characteristics in that sense. A human is a human before being a man or a woman. People are equal as far as human nature is concerned. This is the Islamic view. God has bestowed certain physical traits on men and women. Both men and women play a role in creation, in the growth and transcendence of humanity, and in the course of history. But the role of women is more important than that of men, according to Islamic scholars.
For example, we have a female researcher who has been doing research for more than 40 years with her husband in a peaceful life with four children. She's a successful mother, a successful wife, and a successful researcher. Or we also have female athletes in different departments who hug and breastfeed their children on the side of the sports field. Anyway, my emphasis is on their identity. And that identity that has been lost in the West, and today the Muslim woman is giving it as a gift to the whole world. This sense of being a mother, a sense of being a wife, a sense of comfort to the family is a part of the Iranian woman's identity, and this is what she is giving to the world.
The most important duty of humanity is to help the reproduction cycle. In this regard, the role of women is incomparable to the role of men. The West, which has strayed from the righteous path, calls these things limitations, while they treat women as a commodity and label it woman's freedom. These are among the plots that the West has carried out regarding human rights issues.
In the Western culture, woman actually stands in an inferior place and is looked upon as an object or a tool. During the Industrial Revolution, the domineering view towards woman was very unpleasant because the Western woman was devoid of her own identity. No property was registered in her name, and even after she got married, she still had no rights. her last name changed to his husband's last name. If you read Joan of France's famous letter under the name A Letter from a Christian to Muslim Women, in that letter she clearly says that we Western women no longer have an identity. The American woman is not the woman that Hollywood shows. That reality of an American woman is me, who always has to go to sleep by sleeping pills. And in fact, I have no support.
In relation to Western plots, some activists from the Iranian Muslim woman movement have made a noteworthy statement recently saying, those who are responsible for killing countless women and children in Yemen, Afghanistan, and Iraq cannot tell us about woman life and freedom, of course.
If women do not take part in a social movement of a nation, that movement will not gain any results and it will not succeed. If they do, however, decide to participate in a movement with awareness and insight, that movement will accelerate. In the great waves of Islamic awakening in history, women have played an unparalleled role, and it is necessary for them to continue playing this role.
In the past, we have clearly witnessed the significant role women played during the time Iranians were fighting the Pahlavi oppression in Iran and after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. If they had not fought in the battlefields during the 8-year Iraq War, which was imposed on us, the country would not have achieved victory during those difficult times.
In many of the issues raised by Imam Khomeini, the roles of women and men are seen side by side. He says that all these disturbances that exist, men and women should work together to solve them. And therefore, I want to tell you that the approach of the revolution to the women's issue was that women should come and take part and play a role in the destiny of the country. The record of the Islamic Republic itself is very clear in this matter. The achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of women's education, the role that women play in the international arena, such as sports and other arenas, such as politics and foreign affairs, show that the Islamic Republic, according to Imam's approach, was concerned about including women. The Islamic Republic does not consider only the role of family and housework for women. It considers women as a social element that, according to its social responsibility, should play a role.
Indeed, our women helped us achieve victory time and again. The mothers and wives of the martyrs and war veterans created a feeling with their patients in which our youth and men were encouraged to have a determined presence. And this positive feeling spread to every part of the country. As a result, the general atmosphere of the country was filled with selflessness and self-sacrifice, and we achieved victory.
You see, in the debates that the Imam had in the field of women at the beginning of the revolution, many clerics may have not agreed with him, but this approach was changed by Imam's view. In fact, he changed this paradigm that women are important, the role of women in the civil society is important, and that the presence of women in the community does not have the objectification effect and she can play her role effectively.
After the Islamic Revolution, we have issued at least 200 laws to protect women, which is perhaps unique in the world. We have the Supreme Family Council, which is chaired by the president and has a legal basis, and in which the president has the duty to pay attention to the issues and problems of the family, including the mother or the wife of the family. Therefore, there are many protection laws for women. Recently, the Law on Protection of Women and Protection of Women's Safety is actually being reviewed in the parliament and is going through the final stages of approval. For example, if there is no light on a street and the darkness may endanger women's safety, the municipality is obliged to immediately install lights on that street to eliminate the possibility of danger for women.
Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Republic, understood the importance of the role that women could play. Otherwise, there were certain luminaries among our religious scholars who had to be convinced it was necessary to let women take part in the demonstrations. They used to say that women should not take part in the demonstrations. This is the case today in the world of Islam, in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Bahrain, in Yemen, and in every other place. If women strengthen and continue their presence on the front lines, they achieve victories one after another. There is no doubt in this regard. In any case, the role of woman is a unique role, and Muslim women must stay present on the national scene. This is necessary for the future of Ummah.
I believe that nowhere in the world girls and women are as much free as in Iran to participate in social activities. You see women in parliament, in managerial positions, and on the streets and parks. Even in order for women to be more free and comfortable, they have built women-only parks that are unique in the world.
We must make efforts regarding the issue of women and try to preserve the potential that exists within our societies in this regard. This is why we must actively discuss the issue of women and their significance in our present societies.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. According to Tasnim News, Iran's women's ice hockey victorious over UAE at Kazan Cup. Iranian women's ice hockey team defeated the UAE 4-0 at the Russia the Islamic World Kazan Summit 2022 tournament on Sunday. The Iranian women's team had lost to Tatarstan 4-1 in its opening match. Team Melli Banuan will play Bahrain in its next match. The international event is being held in Kazan, the capital of Tatarstan, from January 13 to 18. The tournament has brought 12 men's and 5 women's teams together in two arenas, the Sports Palace and Tatnef Arena. The decision to hold the competition was made within the framework of the International Russia the Islamic World Kazan Summit 2022. More than 300 hockey players from 14 Islamic states are taking part in the tournament. IFP News reads, how two Iranian women reached the peak of Mount Everest. Over the past years, many Iranian mountain climbers have successfully reached the top of Mount Everest, which sits in the Himalayan heights. But prior to May 2022, no Iranian woman had managed to get to the peak of the world's highest mountain. Afsane Hesami Fard, originally from Iran's North Khorasan province, finished climbing to the top on Saturday, May 14th. She went to Damavand on April 6th and joined a week-long training camp there before setting out for Everest. Ilham Ramezani is a former member of Iran's national squash team. She is known as the second Iranian woman who has succeeded in reaching the peak of Mount Everest this year. She announced via social media that she had reached the finish spot at 9 a.m. on May 15th. Iran Press reads, Women of Influence exhibits Iranian achievements. The exhibition was held simultaneously with the first International Congress for Women of Influence, which kicked off on January 20, 2023. The first International Congress for Women of Influence was held in Tehran on Friday with female guests, including wives of heads of state, ministers, vice presidents, and parliamentarians from Burkina Faso, Kyrgyzstan, Serbia, Guinea, Niger, Nigeria, Sri Lanka, Syria, Turkmenistan, and Armenia. Iranian exhibitions showcase the latest achievements of successful Iranian women entrepreneurs and active in various fields like electricity, electronics, medical equipment, technology, innovation centers, and homemade products. Today, one of the greatest problems of the Western world is the breakup of the family environment and an increase in the number of orphan children. The West is suffering from the consequences of neglecting family values and will suffer more, according to sociopolitical analysts. These social developments have built up over time, and the West appears to be harmed greatly by this problem. This flashy, materialistic civilization will certainly collapse along these social fault lines if it continues to ignore the basic and fundamental values of humanity.
We believe that families are similar to a community, a small society that has rules, and these rules are necessary for it to survive. One of these rules is that the family members should care about each other. It's not like anyone can do whatever they want. Societies won't work like this. Can anyone do whatever they want in a society? No. The law imposes restrictions, and this is very natural. Therefore, the wife must ask permission from her husband to go out or go abroad. This is exactly the internal harmony within a small community, and this shows that family members care about each other.
Islamic scholars believe that Western countries have to be condemned when it comes to the status and situation of women. They describe Western women as being alienated in their societies, while pointing out that the Western capitalism is a patriarchal system, criticizing it for allegedly giving people's capital and financial assets more value than humanity. Also, criticizing it for letting men make more money than their women counterparts in the work environment. Meanwhile, the top Islamic leaders in Iran believe that the employment of efficient, experienced, knowledgeable, and wise women in the country's decision-making arenas is of high importance. They believe that the revolutionary process has made a significant effort to see a strong role played by Iranian women in various sectors of the society. In light of these efforts for women's active presence in the society, today the absolute and relative number of female researchers, professors, scientists, intellectuals who work in different areas as experts, poets and artists such as fiction writers and painters, etc., is far greater than the number of such women during the time of Pahlavi regime. In that regard, what is published against Iranian women in foreign media is not based on facts. In the recent hybrid warfare against the Islamic Republic, much effort was spent to portray the woman's status in Iran as inferior, completely ignoring the accomplishments of women in the past 44 years of the Islamic Republic.
I'm serving you as a representative of people. Expressing demands is a public right. Every Iranian citizen has the right to express his or her demands, and the Constitution provides this opportunity. The form of our parliament and our city councils is in such a way that, because they receive votes directly from the people, they have direct interaction and communication with the people, and that they actually listen to the demands of the people. This is the basic approach that I usually see my colleagues have. They are serious about this matter, and I know that this approach exists in city councils and similar institutions. I think that listening and talking and communicating and seeing women's demands definitely helps to improve the status of women's society.
Today in the Islamic Republic, there are many female figures in different areas such as science and academia, politics, culture, sports and arts who wear the hijab in the form of chador or headscarves. And their accomplishments and progress is an indication that observing the Islamic dress code is by no means an obstacle for them to reach their full potential. In the Islamic and divine view of a woman, she possesses so much beauty, tenderness, and loving warmth that she can push both herself and the people around her, whether in the household or any other environment, towards spirituality, progress, and highest levels of science and pragmatism.
Today, our educated women are the most pious and revolutionary people in our country. Today, our educated young women are active in the most advanced laboratories and scientific and scholarly centers. Our pious and revolutionary youth are among the most active women in political, scientific, and managerial areas. They think critically and understand cultural resistance in the face of Westernization.
The family's trust in Islam or the Islamic Republic also made them send girls to schools. Literacy should be considered as an important issue for our women and girls. We had a high rate of literacy growth after the revolution. And alhamdulillah, now literacy and higher university and supplementary education for women are among the indicators brought by the Islamic Republic. The traditional community felt that the path that the revolution is following in the field of women issues are compatible with the values and norms of the Iranian society. And for this reason, the traditional society also supported all the concerns that the Imam had regarding the presence of women in the society.
Furthermore, when we take a look, we see that the name of our woman have been written on many books, including scientific, research-based, historical, literature, political, and artistic books. The writings of our woman, whether articles or books, are among the best writings in the Islamic Republic today. This is really a source of honor and pride, and it is unprecedented in our history.
You see, before the Islamic Revolution, we didn't have a handful of writers at that time, but today we have more than 14,000 writers at the national and international level. There are thousands and thousands of volumes of books written by women, books that have been republished for even 120 to 140 times. This actually tells about the manifestation of the spirit of freedom of Iranian women. Or let me say, in the academic field, before the Islamic Revolution, we didn't have even 1% of university faculty members. Today, more than 40% of our faculty members are women, and they are cultured, thoughtful, and educated. Before the revolution, our women's sports fields were very, very limited, and maybe only one or two fields were open for women, and they had to be trained by men coaches. Today, we have more than 48,000 female coaches for various sports fields. And anyway, the world is seeing Iran's dear girls and women shine on the championship and medal-winning platforms.
Iranian women have also proven they can contribute greatly to the advancement of sciences, as 345 female researchers are on the highly cited researchers list of the world. They have also played their role in the scientific authority of Iran, and in the list of 2,795 Iranian highly cited researchers, which includes researchers in the top 0.1%, top 1%, and top 2%, there are 345 Iranian women scientists. In addition, there are so many examples of successful Iranian female athletes who have stolen the international scene over the past years, including para-archer Zahra Nemati. She took up archery in 2006 and has since become one of the most decorated and most influential para-archers of all time. Nemati has won 3 Paralympic gold medals, 1 silver and 1 bronze. Parashooter Sare Javanmardi also is one of the most decorated Iranian athletes. Known as World Pistol Queen, Javanmardi has claimed 3 gold medals and 1 bronze in the Paralympics. In the 2018 Asian Games, the women's kabaddi team won the title for the first time ever, beating the giants of kabaddi India in the final match.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program, Brother Yasser.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for having me again, brother.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure being here.
The pleasure is all ours, actually, to have you both in the studio criticizing the movie Never Hurt, produced in 2018, directed by Josh Weber. As you all know, if you may follow these series of programs, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio, you would definitely know that we haven't come to the end of the critique of this movie, so we postponed it to this episode, hopefully. And before me asking my two brothers, actually, the guest speakers in the studio, the questions regarding this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Never Heard, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Lyran, you were raised in the church. You know what to do. You have to repent for the things you've done. And you've got to turn your life over to him.
I am sorry for all the things I put you through. I am.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program here. And we are trying to...